Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us for Bob Darby, human rights advocate for the homeless, mentally ill. Bob Darby is scheduled to join us momentarily. We're getting a little bit of a late start here, but we certainly appreciate your joining us on this Blog Talk Radio show, where we try to address the many problems of our homeless, mentally ill fellow citizens in America. This is Nina Simone.
I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart.
Thank you so much. That was Nina Simone. She was singing, I Wish That I Would Know What It Feels Like to Be Free. Nina Simone was written about in a biography after her death, and it was revealed in that biography that Nina Simone herself suffered from mental illness, and she took medication for her mental condition every day. That's according to her biographers. We know that mental illness is a very common, treatable health condition, and it affects millions of Americans. In fact, it is said that 1 in 5 people have some level of mental illness, some type of mental illness. Generally, though, the ones who end up homeless and mentally ill have the most extreme types of mental illness. For instance, primarily the homeless mentally ill will be found to have schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, advanced PTSD, and other illnesses that are considered the most serious types of mental illness. I want to remind you that even the most serious types of mental illness are treatable. We've made great strides in the last couple of decades regarding psychotropic drugs and medications that are available, and advancements in psychiatric treatment and care, and psychological care. So therefore, there's no reason for us to have a large homeless population of people who are in that position because of untreated mental illness. I want to congratulate again. Every time I'm on the radio, I want to congratulate Representative Tim Murphy, who's a congressman out of Pennsylvania. He's a Pennsylvania congressman, I believe, District 18. And he introduced into U.S. Congress H.R. 3717, which is the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. If that congressional bill is passed, it will basically cover all the necessary items that are needed to decriminalize mental illness in America. The bill covers AOT programs, which are assisted outpatient treatment programs, offering food and housing for subsistence assistance, and mandated continuous psychiatric treatment for our valuable fellow citizens who have a very serious and chronic ailment that keeps them from being able to live wholesome lifestyles due to lack of treatment. Also, the Assisting Families in Mental Health Crisis Act covers CIT training for police officers and prison guards so that fewer our fellow citizens who have mental illness will be shot down and killed by police officers during apprehension attempts, and fewer of them should also be injured seriously or killed in our correctional institutions. The third provision of that bill is for Medicaid insurance to be resumed in certain psychiatric facilities. When Medicaid insurance was deleted from inpatients in psychiatric facilities, our mental hospitals began to close. And that closing of mental hospitals is one of the things that Bob Darby often speaks about. And he has the statistics to show you that a great many people who were deinstitutionalized from our psychiatric hospitals back in the 60s and 70s were actually reinstitutionalized as prisoners later. And I believe that was a setup. I believe it was a setup to transfer our most vulnerable citizens away from a treating environment into an environment for criminals to be punished. So that is my own thoughts about that, that the prison industrial complex is built on the suffering of our people who are mentally ill. They comprise 1.25 million of the nation's 2.3 million inmates. So the next thing the bill covers is a relaxation of the HIPAA laws, H-I-P-P-A, that keep families from being able to get answers to their questions about their mentally ill relatives who are in custody or who are in psychiatric treatment. Families need to know what's going on with their members so that they can be better advocates for their health care. And those are the provisions that I care most about in the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act, a congressional bill by Representative Tim Murphy out of Pennsylvania. I ask all of you to write to your congressional representatives and urge them to also co-sponsor that bill. It has, last time I checked, over 80 co-sponsors. Of those 80 that I checked on a few weeks ago, only 25 of them or so were Democrats. And we urge everyone, whether Democrat or Republican, to get behind H.R. 3717, the Helping Families and Mental Health Crisis Act. Let's stop having such a large mentally ill homeless population in America. Let's reduce our prison enrollment of mentally ill people. Let's stop violence against mentally ill people by police officers who were not trained in CIT. Let's remove the stigma attached to mental illness, and let us all learn to reach out and touch somebody's hand, make this world a better place. Yes, we can. Oh, man, do you remember that song? This is your chance to do that. This is your chance to give assistance to the incarcerated, mentally ill, and to give assistance to those who are likely to suffer incarceration because of a common treatable health condition. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming to join us on Bob Darby, who is an advocate for the homeless, mentally ill. I want to tell you about something that happened that I'm very displeased about. It happened down in Hearne, H-E-A-R-N-E, Texas, right before Mother's Day, the Tuesday before Mother's Day. An old lady, 93 years old, she was killed by a police officer. They say she was going around her home, nearby her home, in her own yard, with a gun. She had a gun, and she was walking around outside. This woman was 93 years old, and she was walking around, reportedly, outside of her home with a gun. Well, I didn't get the full understanding, but it appears that she may have been suffering from old age dementia. That's what I suppose. However, she could have been, it could have been a case where she heard a noise and thought it was a burglar and decided to get her gun and go see. People have a right to walk around the outside of their home with a gun if they think they heard a noise that sounds like a break-in. And if she was suffering from old age dementia, why didn't this officer, Officer Stephen Stem, S-T-E-M, why didn't he taser her instead of shooting her with bullets? Her name was Pearlie Golden, G-O-L-D-E-N, and I want to send my condolences to her family. We're going to continue to talk for another little while, and I hope you'll come back and listen to this whole tape where it will be archived on Blog Talk Radio, because I have exciting news for you. I do want to say that this officer, Mr. Stem, I think that he's been fired now. That's based on my information, that he's been fired. And it's a wonderful thing when police officers are treated like they should be if they violate human rights belonging to citizens in America. So if he was fired, good riddance. Furthermore, I think that perhaps he should be brought up on charges. Perhaps he should have to face murder charges, depending on the circumstances of this shooting. And so we thank you again for coming. I want to tell you that tonight I will be on A Just Calls radio show. That's called A Just Calls, Coast to Coast. It's a radio show that's devoted to exposing and opposing wrongful convictions. And we're going to discuss, on that segment of the program, we're going to discuss media suppression regarding Justice Quest. Media suppression, particularly of African Americans regarding Justice Quest. Now, there's a tendency to cover up wrongs that are done by the system. A Just Cause covers many, many wrongful convictions, but I believe they began with IRP6, the 6 software executives, 5 black ones and 1 white one, who were brought up on charges, convicted, and are now arrested. They're sentenced, as I understand it, to a federal correctional facility for fraud. Now, they owed some temporary staffs. They owed some temporary companies for temporary staff that they had been using in order to perfect some security software that they were tweeting. They were working on it for, as I understand it, Homeland Security. And when they were about 2 weeks into that project, they got raided by the feds, and they were actually later arrested on charges connected to their overdue bills to these temporary companies. Now, a lot of people aren't aware that we have a situation developing in America that's akin to debtors' prisons. Not just IRP 6, but I've heard of other cases where people who owed back due bills were arrested. As a matter of fact, a young man who used to live on my street, his wife was arrested for a furniture bill. Yes, she was arrested because she owed a furniture company. What they're doing is they're calling your back due bills, they're calling them voids because you signed a contract to pay that such and such date. And I bet you that everyone under the sound of my voice has or has had some back due bills. So this is an excuse to add you as an inmate to the mass incarceration epidemic that's going on in America, the mass incarceration epidemic. And I wrote some articles about IRP 6 that you might want to read, and one of them is called They Suppress Our Achievement and Being Called Us Lazy. They suppress African-American achievement, then call us lazy. That's an article in my Free Speak blog that you're invited to read on that. Again, I understand that this show is Bob Darby, homeless, mentally ill. He's an advocate for the homeless, mentally ill. And many people have allowed themselves to be run insane because of overdue bills. And they have allowed themselves to be stressed out to the point that they've actually had nervous breakdowns because of financial trouble, because of financial urgencies. And so I ask you, please keep a hold of yourself. Do not let bill collectors make you lose your mind, because then you could be one of the homeless, mentally ill. Yes, I say to you that it is possible even for you if you don't keep a firm hold on your mind. Do not let yourself be so stressed that you lose your mind over back due bills. That has happened to people. I know a couple that the wife lost her mind when the husband had foot surgery. And he was off from work, and he didn't heal as quickly as he hoped. He ended up having to go back in to the hospital for second foot surgery. He was a large man. He wasn't able to walk on his feet and put pressure on him because he must have had some other things going on, and the stitches under there and what have you would erupt and in any case, he was out of work longer than he anticipated. And this happened during the days before the Family Leave Act. It happened during a time when people could fire you for being sick or fire you because you had relatives who were sick. Oh, yes, before the Family Leave Act, people who had illnesses had a much more difficult time holding their jobs. And so when he got fired because his leg was not healing as quickly as he hoped and he was not able to go back to his job, she worked at the same company, and she quit her job because she did not want to work there any longer after her husband was terminated for not being able to get well as quickly as he had hoped and resume his position, which he was manager over the sales force. She quit her job. Well, guess what? They sat right there and went into bankruptcy because neither of them were able to work after she quit her job. She also had a weekend job where she worked as National Guard. Yes, she did that weekend work, one weekend a month, but that was their only income. And that friend of mine sat right there at home and got so stressed out with no income coming in and two small children to take care of that she actually lost her bearings and she went into a nervous breakdown. So you're not so far away from mental illness if you are dealing with a lot of stresses. And so I urge everybody to please just remain calm, do what you can do, and if you have spirituality in your life, that is also a good thing. I want to let you know that on Sunday this week, Sunday, May 18th at 3 p.m., on this same radio dial here at Human Rights Demand, we will welcome a psychologist, Dr. Earl Williams, and another psychologist, Dr. Jean Kennedy. They will come on this radio show and talk to us about the high recidivism rate, among prisoners who are released from correctional institutions in America. Dr. Williams is an educator and a television commentator, as well as a practicing psychologist. One of his missions is to reduce recidivism. Now, the research by the Bureau of Justice Statistics shows that 67.5% of released prisoners, 67.5% of them are rearrested within 3 years, almost exclusively for felonies or serious misdemeanors. So therefore, we believe that all reentry programs should include counseling ex-offenders on how to avoid recidivism. Dr. Earl Williams will be here to talk to you about that on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. at this very same radio dial. That is Human Rights Demand. And the show is called Human Rights for Prisoners March. Now, Dr. Jean Kennedy is an organizational psychologist, and she will talk about the organizational structure of the justice system, which allows for all of this recidivism. It sets the stage for it. For instance, one main reason for recidivism may be the lack of jobs for ex-convicts, the lack of available employment opportunities for felons who are released from jails and prisons because of that question that's on just about every job application asking, have you been convicted of a felony? That is set up to automatically reject such persons in many cases. And so Dr. Jean Kennedy will address the organizational structure of the justice system itself that contributes to high recidivism. So join us, if you will, on Sunday afternoon on the Human Rights for Prisoners March here at Blog Talk Radio on this same channel, Human Rights Demand. And you can call in and talk to these psychologists at 347-857-3293. That's Sunday afternoon. Next Monday evening, it'll be midnight on Eastern Standard Time. It will be 9 p.m. on the West Coast. We will talk to them again on the Human Rights for Prisoners March program on National Network in Action. And that is our midnight show, Monday night, midnight Eastern Standard Time, Human Rights for Prisoners March. You can get both announcements from the Adult Justice for Mentally Ill blog. That blog, again, is called Dog Justice for Mentally Ill. And I certainly appreciate your joining us this afternoon here on the Bob Darby Advocate for Homeless Mentally Ill. We're addressing the steps that people take along the way to becoming homeless mentally ill people. It can happen. It can happen to someone that you care about. It can happen to you or someone else that you love if you let yourself be stressed out, for instance, over the economic downturn in your personal finances, like we talked about with IRP 6 being arrested for a bill, debtor's prison, being wrongly incarcerated over a bill. We can also and people who are released from incarceration having heart trouble getting jobs, getting employment, and of course, many of them, if they're arrested for certain drug offenses, they can't qualify for subsistence assistance either. For instance, food stamps and housing, and nor can they live with their family members who are in subsidized housing. So it makes for a lot of difficulty when the system appears to be reserving people in their state of destitution in order to put them in a position to return to prison. Now, that's how it appears to me. And I want to thank you also for joining me tonight on A Just Cause. That's a radio show, A Just Cause. And we're going to be talking about media censorship, media suppression regarding Justice Quest. And again, this is Mary Neal. I'm so glad that you joined us today. I'm sorry Bob Darby was not able to join us. He called me and told me that he was having difficulty charging his phone and that he may not be able to join us today, and I see indeed he was not. I'm glad I was able to give you some information, and I want you to be encouraged because Orange County, California, that's a big county, has approved an AOT program. Orange County, California has approved Laura's Law. That is an AOT program, assisted outpatient treatment program, so they will have fewer homeless, mentally ill people. So that's a big shout out to Orange County, California. Thank you so much for approving assisted outpatient treatment programs so that mentally ill people in California will have subsistence assistance and continuous psychiatric treatment. And we just thank you for passing that law. Laura's Law has passed in Orange County, California. Furthermore, I want you to know that AOT programs were certified by the Justice Department a few years ago. If they don't have one in your area, listen, just tell your congressperson to support health, support human rights, support H.R. 3717, helping families and mental health crisis. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you. I will see you tonight on A Just Cause radio show. Bye-bye.